Hello and welcome to the Real Estate Experts Podcast with Jacob and Jennifer Fries. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Jennifer.
So today we are talking about unlocking success through understanding your client's needs. So why don't you touch on that for us, Jennifer?
Well, I think one of the most important things is that we really look at what client-centric service in real estate looks like and just kind of look at the landscape of it and just try to examine pieces of it that we can put together as, you know, successful realtors that we want to serve our clients and serve them the best that we can. And I think that's one of the most important things that we can do for our clients because, you know, in our business, it's so important to capture the leads and get all that information and, you know, build those relationships that are going to be lifelong, you know, deals, basically. You know, I mean, I mean, we'll share a little bit later some of the success stories of successful closings with clients that I've had for years upon years upon years and just how wonderful and become great friends too. So,
right. Yeah. Great. So why don't you talk us through a couple points? So we've got some points laid out for today. So
one of the things that I always like to say, and what's that saying? You could probably say it better for me than I can. God gave us one mouth and two ears.
Yep.
So sure. I think one of the things that we really have to do is learn to listen. So I'm going to put you on the spot, Jacob, this morning.
Give it to me.
What kind of listener am I?
Oh, you're a very good listener.
Do I hear almost everything in conversations? Am I good
at, I mean, are we talking business or in our relationship?
I knew you were going to say that. But I mean, you know, I think that's one of the key points, you know, to make is that, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, I mean, obviously I fail at sometimes in our relationship, not maybe conveying a message correctly, but I think I do hear a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I hear what you're saying. And sometimes I'll repeat something that you've said and say, did I understand that right? Or da 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 da. And I think that's one of the things in this business that we need to do is that we need to really have conversations with our clients to find out what their needs are. And
well, I know when I've witnessed you in business settings, you bring out your good old Franklin planner and you have a blank page in your Franklin planner to take notes and you take diligent notes.
I do.
I know that that's you're very thorough in that setting. Well, now, maybe in our relationship, maybe I should have you take out your Franklin planner and take notes.
Aha, aha. That would probably take another planner. Well, you know, I think one of the things is, you know, what we do is that we have packets of information that we give our buyers and our sellers. Yeah. And same with those packets. You know, I have a packet of information that I take notes on, you know, in regards to my clients. And so I have a list of questions for, you know, if I'm working with buyers or if I'm working with sellers, things that I need to know. But I mean, I think that's the key thing is that we want to definitely ask a lot of questions and find out where they're coming from. You know, this is the thing. Every client's need is different. It's
right.
Unique.
Right.
The property that they're looking for from the property that they're going to be selling, you've got people, you know, unfortunately, you know, I've got a situation right now that I'm dealing with where I've got two people that are not happy with one another. They're going through a divorce. It's been very difficult. And I've got one party saying one thing and I have another party saying another. And, you know, it's my job to just figure it out and to do what's best for both of them in the situation. And
well, it's in that situation, you're putting your real estate hat on, but also your therapist hat on.
So true. So true. Yeah. I mean, I'm messaging back saying, you know what? I completely understand. You know, I've been there and it's a very emotional roller coaster. And, you know, I want to definitely show empathy with people and an understanding where they're coming from because it is a tragic place in their life and they're really just maneuvering through it the best that they possibly can. And it's not easy. It's certainly not easy. And so, but understanding where they're coming from.
Right.
If we could, and I think that is another key point that I think that, you know, we want to touch on is just, you know, there's this thing. I think we were talking yesterday because I was just curious. I had seen some message come through and it said something about what's the difference between empathy and sympathy, you know. And I think that's really as agents, we need to understand what is the difference between sympathy and empathy and how can we help clients move through things. And really, empathy is one of the patterns, you know, as agents that we really need to work on, is because we need to understand where someone's coming from. You know, sometimes we don't want to get down too deep with people and become emotional. You know, that's sympathy.
Right.
Because when we do that, then sometimes our thought process isn't going to gain our customer or client an advantage. We need to be able to look at the broad picture and be making the best business decisions on their best behalf. And so having empathy and showing that to them and helping them guide and direct and make sure that they're making good decisions is very important.
Yeah, for sure. So as you go through this process, let's say with a couple that are in the middle of a divorce, so you're a therapist and a real estate agent all in one.
Get all your hats on. Take off that hat, put on this hat. Okay, yeah.
So what's the best advice that you can give other agents that are dealing with something similar?
Best advice in dealing with...
Divorcing couples, maybe specific.
Is don't pass judgment. You know, I can tell you in my early years that I probably had some issues with that. You know,
you probably gang up almost like subconsciously, right? You'd maybe take sides.
I don't know that I took sides, but I just remember one time having one particular picture in the back of my head and thinking that it was this way and finding out like 15 years later that was not the case.
Yeah.
And I was so disappointed in myself and for letting myself think something for so long and have this negative thought of someone else, that I realized I can't do that. I need to just realize that these are two human beings and everyone has made a mistake. And it's not my place to place judgment on anyone.
Yeah.
My place is to be the calm of the storm and to try to bring reason and negotiation to the table. You know, obviously these parties have attorneys, so they don't need me in that sense, but the advice sometimes that attorneys are going to give you, they're not thinking about the whole picture, right? They're really not. They're just thinking, like, I got to get through this divorce. You know, they're not thinking about, we don't care about your credit score. We don't care if he's not making the payments or she's not making the payments or any of that kind of stuff, where it really is kind of a big deal. It could really mess with people's credit on what they can do down the road. And so there are avenues of having those discussions. And not to say that attorneys don't, you know, tell people to keep their credit in good shape. I've just had attorneys just say, don't make your payments. And I'm like, why are you telling them that?
That's bad.
So I'm just going to say it's our job to keep everything above board. My mistake was placing judgment. So don't place judgment. Know that, you know, you just have to be in a space to help people and no judgment calls and do the best that you can, you know, under the term, and make sure that you're following the law. I mean, there's a lot of things that can sometimes go sideways in those situations.
You gotta be careful,
so know your local laws, know what's going, you know, try to keep up to speed on that. And, transparency. You know, when you're sending out emails, copy each one on the emails. You know, don't send one thing to one person and then send the other person something else. If you want to write a little special note on one of them, you can, but don't get in the weeds on stuff.
Right.
You know, keep it simple. You know, keep it real simple. You know, I will say this, you know me, I'm a hugger. I'm very careful not to hug men, obviously, but I'm a hugger. And so when I see somebody hurting, it's really hard for me not to reach out and touch them and not to let them know that I'm sorry what they're going through, you know, and the pain that they're feeling and things like that. And so every once in a while, I will just reach over, you know, and touch someone either on the shoulder, you know, and just let them know I'm really sorry. And then the women, of course, I hug, you know, if they're huggers. I mean, sometimes they're like, get away from me, lady. You know? But I could tell when people are really kind of closed off. And you know, what's the most interesting, and now that we're talking about hugging, I'll just say this out loud. I remember going in for a hug one time and somebody just like they went like a steel frame, right? And then, you know, I just kind of like, you know, to feel them like stiffen up. And so I was just, I kind of grabbed their arms and then they just embraced me. It was like they hadn't been hugged for so long. It's really sad. You know, the people don't get that kind of intimacy with another human.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how we got on the subject of hugs, but you know, while we're here, I think the study has said like someone needs 7 hugs a day, which it's kind of crazy to think.
I don't even think I hug you that.
I mean, say, I don't think I get,
you know,
7 hugs.
I mean, when we're in bed, you know, it's one thing. But, you know, I'm just saying, I don't think that you and I give each other that many hugs.
Right, right.
So anyways, anyway, we need to improve that.
We're getting a little far field here. But all right. So that's some good advice for dealing with divorcing couples. So let's move to our next point. So what's the next thing that you want to talk about today?
So I think you have to have some kind of personalized service, you know, things that you're going to actually provide your people. And so, and personalize everything. So everything that I do has all of our logos and all of that good stuff because we want people to remember us, right? But everything has to be unique because every client is different. So what you bring to the table. So what I try to do is that, number one, ask a lot of questions, find out what the motivation is, and find out what the goal is. I mean, those are the key things in the very beginning. And then once I know what those are, then it's my job to put them in order and make sure that I'm providing the resources or the places they need to go, or make sure that we're doing everything that we need to do. So if I was actually talking to a seller, for instance, I would be finding out, okay, I'll just use this scenario. So recently I gone in and taken a look at a house and it was an absolutely gorgeous home, but there was some clutter and there was a lot of life going on in that home. It was, you know, teenagers and fun.
A lot of life. I like that. That's fun.
Well, I mean, it's so true. It was a happy place for sure. Lots of bustling kids coming in and out the door. You could tell that house had been loved, you know, from the beginning. But there was just a lot going on. And, you know, we're wanting to get a great dollar amount for the property for one. And so my recommendations, you know, were, you know, we really need to have someone come in and, declutter everything and put their spin on it and then probably stage it for us. And so, you know, we had, was it NWA?
Our Clutter Away?
Yeah.
NWA Clutter Away.
Yeah. And so they came on and we talked with them. I got them in touch. It was a great situation. And they took great care of her and she loved it. You know, in fact, they had to come back and redo, and they got to one kid's room and the other kid goes, I really like that. Would they come to my room too? The other kid that lived in the basement. And so anyway, but staged the house perfectly, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, it's having people like that that do resources. And then you take care of the trash and you take care of the cleaning. You know, are there inspections that need to be done to make sure that we're taking care of those needs? If I was talking to a buyer client, you know, I want to find out, you know, what their goals and motivations are. And, you know, sometimes that's going to be taking a particular neighborhood just because they said, you know what, I really like the houses on this street. You know, I think my husband and I could really live in this neighborhood with our kids and feel very safe. And you go, okay, well, there's no houses in this neighborhood on the market. So what are we going to do? Our team is going to jump out and we're going to go knock all those doors. We're going to see if there's anything in that neighborhood that could be possibly available that could be on the market or coming to the market soon. And so those are going to be things that as agents that we can be doing, you know, for our clients on their benefit to take care of their needs. And so I just feel like it's important to definitely specialize and put our best foot forward in doing all the things that we can for our clients, whatever it is. As you know, I'm dealing with some issues this morning. And so with that being said, you know, there's some things I'm going to have to do when we get out of here to take care of that client to make sure that we close on time tomorrow. So yeah. I'm just saying that there's things that we have to do that we don't always think we should do.
Yeah.
I always tell people, you may be making a bed tomorrow. Who knows?
I was going to say, those are the really fun deals when the walkthrough the day before does not go smoothly. But
hey, if I ever have anyone on my team ever tell me, well, I'm not going to do this, I don't like those words. Yep. I really don't like those words. I really feel like that we need to come from a different place. There are things that we don't want to do, right? Every day I wake up thinking, I don't want to work out. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But we really have to come to the table for our clients and go, what can we do to help them? What are some things that we can remove obstacles in their life to make this process easier? What is that? What can we do? So just ask yourself when you're talking to your clients and you find out what motivates them, find out what you can do to make it an easier process.
Yep, for sure. Well, it's time for station identification. You can find us on YouTube on the Real Estate Experts podcast channel. You can also find us anywhere you get your podcasts. The Roofing Experts of Northwest Arkansas are your go-to experts for roofing. It's in the name, experts. If you want a roofing expert, call the Roofing Experts. We stand behind our work so you can stand under it. This is the Real Estate Experts Podcast. So we are talking about client-centric services today. We need to keep going down our list here. So talk to me about...
You have a list?
I do have a list.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah. So you have a little list to go down and like tell me, Jennifer, don't forget that. Don't forget this.
That's right. That's right. My wife likes to be that organized. So so talk to me about building trust and loyalty.
So, you know, in the very beginning, that's one of the key points that, you know, when you're embarking basically on a new relationship, you know, how do you build trust and loyalty in someone? And if it's a referral, if someone has referred your services, instantly, you know, they already trust you, right? So I walk into those meetings and I don't need to do anything. They already know me a little bit. They like me because of what somebody else had to say about my services or the experience that they had. And so they want to work with me. But a lot of times we don't get that opportunity. Someone's calling us, you know, maybe they saw your sign. Maybe they saw something that you had done on social media and they liked the way it looked, or, you know, I don't know, you just meet someone and they just want to sit down with you and find out, well, what it looks like for them, for you to be their buyer's agent, or what it looks like for you to list their property. And so how do you build that trust and loyalty? And again, it goes back to asking questions. The more questions that I ask and the more involved that I get in their life and I try to find information out. The other day, I'm just going to say I called, it was a FSBO, and the person that I was talking to really wanted to sell their house. They had every right, need to want to sell, wanted me to possibly show it. But when I dove in and started asking personal questions to find out what was motivating them, she got real defensive with me on the phone and just said, "What is it of your business? Blah, 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 blah." Right. You know, and, you know, I just came back and I said, "Hey, you know what? I understand. I understand where you're coming from. Well, let me tell you why I'm asking you these questions." And then I just went down a different path. I kind of took my tone down a little bit and talked a little bit softer and just explained to her why it was important. And she goes, "Oh, okay. Well, you know, that's really sweet of you. I'm really sorry. I guess I just never had anyone ask me those questions before."
Yeah.
And so how do we show up for people? How do they view us? And so, you know, that particular situation just kind of speaks to the levels of things that happen to people. And so when you ask them something that they don't know why you're asking them, they might get defensive, but how do we come back and recover from that, right?
Right.
And so how are we going to handle that?
Well, the thing I think of when I think about this is how over-prepared you are, basically, for sellers' meetings, for buyers' meetings. You know, you have a buyer's packet, you have a seller's packet. And for those of you listening out there, if you would like to obtain one of these, feel free to contact us on our Facebook page, and we would be more than happy to share. Jennifer has an amazing seller's packet and an amazing buyer's packet, and it really just walks you through each little step and just has a lot of great questions. Some questions that realtors never ask, And they just, you know, they just start rolling with it. And then
I may have to leave those questions just for my team.
Oh, OK.
I call those the blue ocean questions.
The blue ocean.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Blue ocean question. Okay.
So, but that's the thing I think about is because you're so thorough, I feel like that would gain my trust. If I didn't know you, you started asking some really next level questions that I had never thought about in the process of either buying or selling.
Well, when you come to think of it, you know, when you and I went on our first date, how many questions did I pepper you with?
I mean, our first date was like 3 hours. So like you were, it was, yeah, I felt like it was like borderline interrogation. But
no, you did not. You loved every minute of it. You loved talking about yourself. You felt like you knew me by the time we left.
Doesn't everybody like talking about themselves though?
Exactly. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
You know, if you're asking questions, then that person gets to tell you their story and then they feel closer to you. And that's what we're supposed to be doing with our clients. We want them to feel like they can trust us, and we need to know who they are so we know what motivates them, what their goals are, so we can set them up for pure success. And that's what our job is, yeah, is helping our clients reach success.
Yeah, for sure. So tell me some more.
So the biggest thing for me is always having raving fans, right? So how do you have raving fans? So it's just building up that trust and loyalty, you know, definitely. And so because you want your real estate business to continue to flow for years and years and years. And so the more clients that you're working with over time, you know, usually for a new agent, I usually say within 5 years, you're going to definitely see repeat. But 2 years, you're going to start seeing some repeat. Within 5 years, you start seeing the repeat cycle because people are moving and right, moving again. But personally, but think of all the people that they're going to send to you too. So you just have to keep that in mind as you're pursuing this. And keep in mind, that's the importance of having a system in place and having packets of information and things like that, because people feel like that they're getting invaluable. I mean, what value are you placing on your business? And what value do you bring to the table each and every time that you're serving right, someone? So, and if we could look at this industry as that we are to serve others, then I think it would really switch the mindset. Because I always look at it like when something is going on, I'm like, you know what? That's my job. I need to serve. And so if I put on the servant thought process and I just say, I'm going to serve someone, I'm going to serve this person, whether it's my job or, you know, so-and-so was supposed to come over and take care of this, da-da-da-da-da, you know, well, maybe I'm going to go over there. Maybe I'm going to, you know, take a look at that. Maybe I'm going to see what I can do. I'm not very handy, but I do know how to work a screwdriver, kind of.
Well, you know what the end result is supposed to be. You don't always necessarily know the process.
True story. And I've had you come over at the last minute, too, and help me on things. So, but it's just showing up for people. Just show up. Please show up. You know?
Yep.
So
what would you consider success in measuring success in a client-centric system? What would you consider that?
So how do you measure success? Well, one is, you know, you're asking their feedback for one, you know, during the process. You're asking them, so how are we doing? You know, how's the process working for you? You know, so if I was working with a buyer client, I would be asking them, okay, we've looked at 3 houses today. How are we doing so far? And they're going to go, well, none of these really, I don't like them. Oh, okay. Well, I know when we were in house number whatever, you know, and then I give them a little description of the house and I say, so you mentioned to me that, you know, you didn't like the placement of the kitchen sink, right? So was that the only thing you didn't like? Because you really liked those bedrooms. You said the size of the bedrooms were great. The walk-in closets were great. So was it just the placement of that kitchen sink, or was it just the layout of that living room with the kitchen? Was that what kind of, you know, so I'm going to ask and I'm going to dive deep into those questions, and then I'm going to take their pulse. I'm going to go, okay, so are we going to continue to look in this price range? And I'm going to ask all those questions, and then I'm going to say to them, so would you like to go up in price? And a lot of times the answer is no. So you want to make sure that when you're asking your questions, that you're keeping your clients in the budget, but at the same time, you're managing that. And then, you know, 9 times out of 10, they'll say, no, we're actually on the right track. We just haven't seen the one that we think is going to work for us. And I go, you're right. The minute we walk in, I think you're going to know. Because I really do. If you have already taken the client's temperature, and when I say temperature, meaning you've asked them all the questions in the very beginning and you've measured their motivation, they will know when they walk in the door. However, on that first set down, you're going to know if they're motivated. Some people aren't as motivated. And when they're not as motivated, they're not going to make decisions.
Right.
And so when you know that you have a really motivated buyer, for instance, then you're going to be able to gauge that. In a seller situation, I like to ask questions too. I'm going to come back and I'm going to go, okay, so how are we doing so far? We've had, you know, NWA clutter here. They've taken care of you. We're getting ready to, you know, we got the video going. We got this going. What are you thinking so far? And they're like, we hadn't even put the sign out yet. And I go, I know we've been working on this for what, 4 weeks? You know, and people are like, oh my goodness, it's been 4 weeks. I mean, that's what people need to realize a lot of times, that there's all these things that are totally behind the scenes that's been going on for a very long period of time. And then you got your coming soon. You built up the momentum. You've done all these things. You start your video. You just do everything. You got your website ready to go. And then you're just hitting everything all at once. And everyone's really excited. But your seller, honestly, at this point, they're like, oh my goodness, look at everything she's done. Or look at everything they're doing. And, you know, I have a list of 184 things that a realtor does. And I think people are just blown away when we share that information with them, how many things we truly do. They have no idea what we do. And when they see how many things we do, you know, and because everyone gets tripped up on that commission, right? I don't have sellers ever saying to me, you're not worth it. You know, because they see what we do behind the scenes and that we've been working on it for a long period of time. I have a situation coming up here that I've just signed the paperwork yesterday. He signed the paperwork yesterday. And basically, you know, I haven't had to work on that file very long. It's just been something. But the thing is, he's a past customer and client. And so I planted the seeds a long time ago, if that makes sense. Yep. And so now it's just coming back. And so I always tell agents, continue to plant, you know, plant all your seeds. You get a phone call. Someone says, hey, I'm ready to list. I'm ready to go. Can you come in? Can you get it done? And, you know, in his situation, he's like, Jennifer, I've got a busy family. I don't have time to put the paint on the walls. Like, maybe you're going to want me to, and clean everything. We'll shampoo the carpets. We'll do this. We'll do that. But please, I have 3 little kids, blah, 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 blah. So I just had this, you know, meeting, and I just said, okay, then we have to price it right. You know, we're not going to price it like a brand new house. We're going to price it like a house that you've loved and lived in.
Right.
So there is a difference. So asking for feedback, you know, from your clients, make sure that you're going in the direction that they are wanting to go, and asking them how you're doing as you're going down that way.
I like it. I like it. Well, we're slowly but surely coming to a close today. What's maybe one more point that you wanted to talk about before we leave today?
Well, a couple of things that I want to say is that it's really important to have face-to-face, you know, interaction with people. I think a lot of times I've done FaceTime, I've done even videos for people, but finding out from your clients how they want to be talked to and communicated is extremely important. And I will just tell you that there's always going to be challenges out there for agents. Just, you know, for instance, I'm going to deal with a situation once we get off here, and there's going to be challenges, but you have got to look for options for your clients. They deserve solutions. And right. So if you don't have a solution for them, then their thought process towards you is a little different. So if you can't come up with a solution, reach out to your team member, reach out to your broker, ask for help. Don't be ashamed if you don't have an answer for someone. Just ask those that you truly enjoy watching, you know, in your office that you interact with, and just say, hey, could you help me out with this? I've got an issue going on over here and I don't know how to handle this. I mean, I have people every day calling me and asking me, you know, different things. And I love those calls. I will have to say that recently I had because I'm dealing with this other thing on the back end that I'm telling you that I'm going to talk about, right. Or talk with, that's a problem. I have to end with this, that I had a awesome closing the other day. And honestly, it was a situation where these people have been my past clients for a very long time, years and years and years and years. And I'd helped them buy and sell lots of property over the years. And basically, you know, it was just one of those things where the house wasn't as easy to sell. We got an offer on it in the very beginning. And then that buyer came from out of state and decided not to buy it. And man, we had done everything to sell that property. And social media blasts and open houses and everything. And I actually had been measuring with her how I was doing, because I didn't feel like I had been doing, you know, I mean, I felt bad that the property hadn't sold and it took us a little longer than what I wanted it to take. And so, you know, but I always checked in with her, kept her posted, told her everything that was going on. And so we had a happy day of closing where the buyers were closing. We were closing on a property with them. And, you know, she came in and just hugged me and just said, Jennifer, we couldn't have done this without you. And you have just been so wonderful, so awesome. And then gave me big kudos on social media and different things. And, you know, I will say this is that, you know, sometimes we beat ourselves up because we think something, and our clients aren't thinking that. They've watched us. They've been in the trench with us and they've seen everything that we're doing and going through, and we're trying to work with it. And those are the very happy moments for me. When people come back and just go, thank you so much. I appreciate all your help and everything that you've done. And you've made this the best transaction and had wonderful things to say. She's actually friends with another realtor, and she's telling this other realtor that's much younger than me and much prettier than me, but telling her, you need to watch that girl because, you know, she's really, you know. And I was just like, wow, that's a great compliment to be saying, you know what I mean? You know, and telling the younger agent, you know. So I really enjoy those moments when clients come back and show their appreciation. And of course, I appreciate everything that they do for my career as well. And just those lasting relationships. I'm hoping that one day I'm going to be, you know, helping their children possibly buy a house.
I mean, at this point, you might be helping grandchildren.
I know.
As long as you've been in real estate.
I love how that just passes down. It's just so awesome. So I love that.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and go into our book recommendation for the week. And today, it's not necessarily business related, but important to everybody, The Psychology of Money. It's by Morgan Housel. And it was really just an amazing book. It really just teaches you.
So what is one of the key points that you would say that you learned from that particular book?
Well, I mean, gosh, so many things. But, you know, the way that you look at money and the way that you look at things, I thought it was very interesting the way they stated in there about, you know, some people may buy things to impress others. And really, it doesn't necessarily impress people. It might make someone strive to want to have something like that, but it doesn't necessarily impress someone directly. And I thought that was an interesting take on that. Just a different way of looking at money. I would highly encourage everyone to listen to that book or read that book. So Jennifer, we're going to finish up the day, but I'm going to put you on the spot since you put me on the spot at the beginning.
What?
So we're going to actually put you through the lightning round that we typically put our guests through. You have never been through. So is your favorite movie? This is tough because
movie.
You don't watch a lot of movies.
I know. I've probably watched more movies since I've known you. I don't know. So this is such an old movie and people are going to say, oh, that's such a weird selection. And but one of them, I guess for me, there's a song that I like. And so the Rocky song, you know, the movie Rocky,
yeah.
you know? So yeah. when I need a little jump start in my day, I actually have it uploaded on my phone. And so I listen to that song,
okay.
but I do like The Pretty Woman. I
oh.
like that movie
Oh,
too.
So we went from Rocky to
I
Pretty
know,
Woman.
I know, okay. I know, I know. It just all kind of, yeah, yeah.
Okay, I like it. Okay. Let's see. If you could eat only one food for the rest of your life without gaining or losing weight, what would it be?
You're not talking about my health, right?
That right. Health aside.
Okay,
so whatever you want.
Eat anything I want.
Yeah. What would it be?
I don't know. My mom makes this incredible French apple crumble pie.
Oh boy, that is good.
With a la mode ice cream.
With a little ice cream. Okay. Yeah. Mm. Her apple pie is amazing.
Yeah.
That's
and
true.
I don't get it near enough. So okay. yeah.
Well, Judy, for listening out there, why don't you go ahead and just make us one of those pies right now and let us know.
If you will. So don't say that. Next time you come, she'll be like, I got your pie.
Okay. So favorite city in the U.S. besides the one you live in, and you can't choose Nevada, Missouri, because that's where you basically grew up.
Favorite city in the U.S. So I, you know, I love Kansas City. And the reason why I love Kansas City, because you know, I love the Plaza area. Oh, you're rolling your eyes. Is that too close to home? Is that
you
why?
Always slurp Kansas City? I should have known.
Okay, yeah, I love Kansas City. There's just so many wonderful things. And you know, what about those Chiefs? Whoop whoop.
Yep.
So
yeah,
Kansas
we love
City
the Chiefs for
yeah.
sure. Okay, so let's see one more here. Biggest pet peeve. I love putting you on the spot.
Biggest pet peeve.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
Remember, this is lightning round. This is supposed to be.
I know,
just
right?
First thing that comes
okay.
to mind.
Okay. Well, when you said it, the thing that probably came to my head was something that I don't want to say. But since you're saying that I have to say it very quickly,
yeah.
it's how you drop your underwear and socks. How they drop on the side of the bed on your side, and I have to pick them up nightly daily. I'm picking them up and putting them in the dirty clothes hamper. So okay. sorry, baby.
I like that. You were trying to embarrass me. Okay. Good job.
Did I?
All right. So, so we are going to come to a close today. Thank you so much for being with us. Where can you connect with us on social media? The Real Estate Experts Podcast on Facebook and our YouTube channel, the Real Estate Experts Podcast channel. You can also find us anywhere where you get your podcast. Thank you, and we will talk to you next week.